Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Buiten is het al wat minder mooi weer, maar de zon schijnt in zonnig Californië en we hopen dat iedereen zal genieten van deze uitzending. Dominee Schuller interviewt Dan Bylsma, een Nederlandse naam, een hockeyer die grote carrière heeft gemaakt in Amerika, maar die zijn zoon verloor bij de geboorte en vertelt over de down en de up moments in je leven. En dan het koor van de Crystal Cathedral, veel muziek en een gesprek met Laurent Nouwen, de broer van Henry Nouwen. En dat naar aanleiding van de tweede prekerserie vandaag in Hour of Power, waarin Henry spreekt, je bent geliefd, maar over het feit, hoe word je geliefd? Kortom, ik denk een geweldige uitzending met vele hoogtepunten en ik wens iedereen een hele fijne dienst toe.
Wonderful hour this is. Greatest hour in the whole week. Wow. Turn around and give a blessing to somebody. God loves you. So do I. Here we are in a place where we feel the presence of God in the light and in the laughter and in the love and in the spirit of encouragement that fills this place. You'll feel good when you leave. Just call the feel-good feeling by the right name. It's the presence of God. You'll feel it because God loves you. So do I. So, Lord, it's easy to come here and be happy. But it's tough for those who carry horrific hurts that seem to offer no hope. So, O Lord, the miracle will happen this morning when they will see a light coming up over the horizon, the dawn of hope. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. In preparation for our message this morning, hear these selected verses from Psalms 42 and 43. As the deer thirsts for streams of water, so my soul thirsts for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, the living God. By day, the Lord directs me with his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. O God, my God, send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
Oh, This morning, I am very excited to welcome our special guest, Dan Bylsma, number 21, left wing for the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Not only is Dan a great professional hockey player, he is first and foremost a wonderful husband, a father, and a man of God. Today, Dan uses his success as National Hockey League player to help and encourage others. Dan Bylsma has a foundation which helps needy young athletes and funds research and assistance for stillbirths. His website takes well over 1,000 hits per week and has been voted the best NHL player website by several different organizations. Dan personally answers 5 to 10 emails and letters every week, many from very troubled kids and parents to whom his advice has played a significant role. Dan has co-authored 3 books along with his father. So You Want to Play in the NHL, So Your Son Wants to Play in the NHL, and most recently, the fiction story, Pitcher's Hands Is Out. Would you please welcome to the Crystal Cathedral, Dan Bylsma. Dan, God loves you, and so do I.
Thank you.
So you want to play in the NHL. So how do you do? I'll bet you do. Obviously, you've been doing it for a few years, huh? When did you start?
Well, professionally, this will be my 10th year coming up and my second with the Ducks. But I really started hockey, or started watching hockey, when I was out of the womb. I had 3 other brothers, and they were in the backyard playing sports. Hockey was one of those, and so from the time I could walk, I was emulating and playing the sports they played, and hockey was one of those sports.
You have had an interesting childhood, to say the least. Obviously, you've written a book on So You Want to Play in the NHL with your dad, your father. That's Jay, right?
Correct.
And then you wrote another book, Your Son Wants to Play in the NHL. And now you've written a third book. Tell us a little bit about these books.
Well, the main focus behind the books and how we got the idea, I had started a hockey camp that I ran with my father. And we were getting questions from parents and kids that were kind of focused all on hockey, and hockey was engulfing their lives, and we saw an opportunity to put amateur sports and hockey, in our case, in perspective, and talk about what truly is important in our kids' lives and in our families' lives, and the family and education, a faith, and going to church. And so we wrote a book, So Your Son Wants to Play in the NHL, and So You Want to Play in the NHL, enticing people to think that we may give them a 5-step book on how to be an NHL player. But really, it's a manual on how to be a well-rounded person, how to have a family and have a faith and have a good education. And those things help you become a professional hockey player. They help you become anything you might choose to do, not just focus on hockey alone.
So you were raised in a Christian home. You
very
went
much.
To church every
very,
Sunday?
Very much.
So there's heel marks in the driveway from where you were dragged in?
Exactly. We sat in the second pew at our church, and there were 4 boys and a girl, and I think we distracted the minister more than we did listen. But my parents and the way they lived their life, going to church, family being a huge part of their lives, and making us go to the dinner table every evening. Even if we had a hockey practice or a baseball practice, there was always time for the family dinner table. There was always time for youth group. There was always time, or they thought there was time, for the choir and piano lessons. And sports was really the gift we got for being a good kid and doing well in our schoolwork and going to church and behaving somewhat in the second pew. And sports was just a small part of the life in the Bylsma family. And I think today I'm a professional athlete and the person I am, not because my parents chose things for my athletic career, but they chose things for my life and for my family and for my faith.
Wow. Now, you have a foundation. Tell us about your foundation.
Well, starting with the hockey school and starting with becoming a professional athlete, there was some chances and some opportunities to meet with kids and churches and schools and parents and interact via email and letters. And it was an opportunity for my dad and I to start a charity and a foundation, one for kids who are a little disadvantaged, maybe need some help in buying a pair of skates, or getting the opportunity to play hockey, and also a foundation that we help and aid research and funds for stillbirths.
So I understand why you want to help athletes. Tell us why you want to help with parents with stillborns.
Well, as I mentioned about our books, my father parented for life, not for hockey. And that was never more evident than 3.5 years ago today. My wife and I lost our first child, young daughter at birth, stillbirth. And it was at that point in my life where what my father had talked about in church and kind of sunk home in our family situations and kind of all came together. And I remember our minister at my wife and I, our wedding, saying that you'll see the face of God in the love that you have for each other, the love that you have in your family, and the love that you have in your church community. And that was never more evident than in the passing of our daughter. Family and friends taking the time to be there for us, to hear us, to not necessarily answer our questions about why, but show us the loving arms of God in their time and their energies and their commitment to us.
So your father helped you through, and your pastor, and your church, and your friends, and everybody. Tough time, isn't it?
Well, as my father, once again, being the wise man that he is, he knew there was more to life than just sports, and that certainly was very true in our lives. And things he taught us, instilled in us, showed us in his actions, and the way he committed to his faith, and my mom to her faith, and is largely due to who I am today and standing here in front of all of you.
Yeah. Your deep personal faith in Jesus Christ really shows. And part of that faith is the fact that God's rewarded you with another child, hasn't he?
He has. Yeah, a 2-year-old son, Brian, who will be watching and screaming at the TV when he sees this. He's a wonderful blessing for my wife and I, and as you said, it continues to get better and better, even from that moment when you hold them to when they start to walk and speak and tell you they love you.
What is your final message to young people and everyone listening today?
Well, I'm alarmed, and my father's alarmed, that today amateur sports, or the people in the know in amateur sports, are saying you have to compromise the rest of your life to be an athlete, and that you have to give up a little bit of your education, and you have to give up a little bit of your family life, and you have to maybe compromise going to church or your faith values to concentrate solely on one activity. And I simply don't think that's true. And I think all those things in my life have made me a better person, have enabled me to be a better hockey player, a better person. And I made it because of those things, not in spite of those things. So I would encourage children and parents to follow your dream, but keep it in perspective with your family, and keep it in perspective with your faith, and keep it in perspective with all the wonderful things of life, not just that one sport.
Well, you're a prime example. Piano lessons, right? We both share that tragedy. Choirs. Yeah, I share that one with you,
another
too.
Another tragedy.
Yeah, it's choirs. Wednesday night church, Sunday morning church. You do all these things, but it didn't hinder your athletic ability one bit.
Enhanced it.
It enhanced it. I want people to hear that. When you get tuned into God, it's going to work. And you're showing us the way, and we appreciate it, and we thank you. Have a great season, okay?
I plan on it. I plan on it.
God loves you. We love you. Go with him.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Ruim 10 jaar geleden sprak hij 3 keer in de Crystal Cathedral. En zijn toespraken sloegen in als een bom. Voor veel Amerikanen was hij toen nog onbekend. En nu kent bijna iedereen hem, wereldwijd overigens. Zijn naam is professor Dr. Henry Nouwen. De man die met ongekend gevoel schrijft over het beleven, het leven, het zoeken naar God. Een persoonlijke vriend ook. En ik mis hem nog bijna iedere dag en ik denk dat veel kijkers en veel mensen dat zeggen. Maar we zijn blij dat de legende van Henry Nouwen, die zich zo betrokken voelde, ook bij de gewonde mens, de gewonde medemens, hier is in... En je bent zijn broer, Laurent.
Goedemorgen, Jan, klopt.
Geweldig dat
ik ben zijn broer.
Ja, de legende leeft voort, wilde ik zeggen.
Nou, niet in mij, maar zijn nalatenschap, als ik het zo mag noemen, wat hij ons heeft nagelaten, dat leeft voort.
Omdat wat heeft hij ons nagelaten?
Hij heeft ons veel nagelaten, denk ik, in de ruimte die de mens nodig heeft voor zichzelf om God te ontmoeten. Een ruimte te creëren. Je weet, veelal spreken wij alsof wij God kennen. De kerken pretenderen dat zij God kennen. En we hebben heel veel kerken. En die hebben allemaal hun eigen God die zo gekend moet worden. En voor Henry was het zo dat hij voortdurend aan het zoeken was naar een opening om God te laten zien in hem en in de andere mens wie God eigenlijk is. En als je die ruimte wel hebt, dan kan je de woestijnruimte hebben dat God tot je komt. En dat is waar ik denk dat Harry anders is dan veel andere theologen en geleerden. Dat hij probeerde in zichzelf, en dat was een voortdurende strijd, dat was niet makkelijk, voortdurend die ruimte open te houden dat hij niet zei van ik weet wie jij bent, God, maar God, vertel mij wie ik moet zijn voor jou. Ik, jouw geliefde zoon, wat betekent dat? Ik, jouw geliefde dochter, wat betekent dat?
En wat betekent dat?
Dat is een voortdurende dagelijkse zoektocht, een opening. Je kan het niet definiëren. God valt niet te definiëren. Die heeft hooguit zijn schepping gedefinieerd.
Een van mijn mooie herinneringen aan jouw broer is dat ik zat een keer met hem te praten over wie is God en de onzichtbare God. En toen zei hij ook een beetje in vertwijfeling, ik zou willen dat God een vel had, dat ik erin kon knijpen, weet je wel. Dat vond ik zo prachtig menselijk.
Ja, dat is ook niet makkelijk, maar God heeft een vel. En dat heeft Harry ook ervaren. En toen hij voor de gehandicapte mens ging werken in de Arkgemeenschap Daybreak bij Toronto, toen ging hij leren dat in de ander God belichaamd was. En ook in de zwakte van de mens. En daarom zegt hij, nadat hij allerlei geleerdheden heeft gedaan en allerlei studies heeft gedaan en aan de universiteit heeft gewerkt waar jij hem ook ontmoet hebt, daarin zegt hij, na 25 jaar priesterschap, zegt hij plotseling, daar heeft Adam, een diep gehandicapt mens, aan mij God geopenbaard. Dus ik kon tegen Adam helemaal niet zeggen wie God was, maar jij vanuit je zwakte, Adam, jij gehandicapt mens, hebt mij verteld wie God was. En jij hebt een vel. Jij hebt een lichaam. Een gehandicapt lichaam waarin God huist. Wij moeten ook weten dat Gods gezicht weerspiegelt in de mens naast je. Ja. In jou, voor mij. Ja. In de andere mens. Ja. En we hebben wel eens de neiging om God in de hemel te plaatsen. Ver van ons af. Hoog. In de eeuwigheid. Maar durven we het aan om aan je buurman, aan je meest naaste, om daar in het goddelijk gelaat te zien.
Henry heeft meer dan 40 boeken geschreven, bijna allemaal bestsellers. Het leven van miljoenen mensen aangeraakt, maar heeft hij ze ook veranderd door zijn denken?
Door zijn zeer persoonlijke getuigenissen van zijn belevenis en ontmoetingen met anders, dat door de durf te hebben daarover te schrijven en te spreken, dus niet vanuit kracht en macht, maar vanuit, ik heb ook mijn twijfels, ik heb ook de onzekerheid, laten we samen het bidden. En bidden is zoeken. Bidden is niet weten, maar bidden is ruimte geven voor de ervaring van het goede, van het goddelijke. En ik denk dat hij een dimensie heeft ingebracht die eigenlijk een beetje dichtgemetseld was. Je hoort toch heel weinig gezagsdragers en theologen zeggen van, ik weet het niet precies, maar ik blijf wel zoeken. Ik wil de stem blijven horen.
Ja. Je bent geliefd.
Je bent geliefd. Uiteindelijk, ten diepste ben je dat. En dat was je al heel lang. En dat ben je tot ver na je eigen tijd, om het zo te zeggen. En dat hoor je ook in de preken van de Crystal Cathedral. Ja. En als je dat ziet, en als je hem daar hoort, tenminste zo zie ik hem, dan denk ik, ach, kleine man. Een man met twijfels, met onzekerheden. Waar haal je de kracht, of hoe heb je de genade gekregen om van daaruit juist zo overtuigend te zijn?
Je bent Henry een beetje.
Nee, dat
in
niet
het
hoor.
Gezicht, in het gebaar.
Ik ben 12 jaar jonger en ja. Toch uit een andere tijd. En hij had een, in mijn ogen, en zo zie ik het ook, een hele bijzondere begenadiging. Hij kreeg, of hij wilde of niet, hij kreeg een boodschap mee.
Ja.
En daar moest hij het mee doen.
Ja.
Met al zijn zwaktes, met al zijn twijfels. Maar met die boodschap bleef hij van overtuigd.
Zo hebben we Henry leren kennen als iemand die zich in ieder gesprek, met iedere ontmoeting, totaal gaf. Het was niet zomaar even oppervlakkig. Nee, ieder mens was interessant, groot en klein. En een van die mooie momenten is met jouw dochter Laura, die het syndroom van Down heeft. En dat hij met haar naar het kerstcircus gaat om zijn vrienden een aantal trapezeartiesten te ontmoeten. Zullen we even naar die prachtige, onvergetelijke beelden kijken, Laurent, voordat we het... Prachtige, onvergetelijke beelden. Henry die uitbundig kon genieten van de Flying Rodleys. Het waren trapezeartiesten en daar ontdekte hij ook. En misschien kan jij het beste vertellen wat hij daar ontdekte.
Je hebt het mee mogen maken en wat hij daarin zag was hoe mensen samen kunnen werken. Hoe mensen een eenheid kunnen vormen. En dat doende door precies te weten en aandacht te hebben voor de andere mens. Want was de ander even uit beeld, dan ging het niet goed.
De vlieger en de vanger.
De vlieger en de vanger. En dat was dus de rol die de mens, wat hij zag in deze acrobatiek, was dat wij geroepen zijn te vliegen.
Ja.
Nou, en wat doen wij vaak? Wij willen vangen. Wij willen zekerheden hebben. We zijn ook verzekerd voor alles en nog wat. Maar belemmert dat niet je vliegen? En wanneer je een diep vertrouwen hebt dat je geroepen bent door God als vanger, God is de vanger, dan kan je in je leven al de acrobatiek doen die God van je vraagt. Heb de durf, je durft dan. Want wij zijn angstige mensen. We willen zekerheden hebben. We willen zeker weten dat het goed met ons komt. En dat willen we het liefste zelf creëren. Dat is een belemmering voor onze ontplooiing en ook voor onze christelijke ontplooiing. Maar geven we die zekerheid even op, dan zijn we misschien in het begin angstig hoor. Hebben we hoogtevrees. Maar als we dan vertrouwen dat we gevangen worden, opgevangen worden, ja, eindelijk thuiskomen in Gods handen, dan kan je vliegen. Dan kan je je roeping leven.
Geweldig. Die roeping leef jij ook samen met jouw dochter Laura. Het lievelingsnichtje van Henry. En Laura is hier. Laura, kom er eens even bij. Daar komt ze aan. Het koninginnetje, zoals ik zelf heet, hè? Dag Laura, hoe is
Dag.
Het?
Ja, Frans.
Ja, ga jij eens even lekker naast je vader zitten.
Ja.
Ome Henry.
Ja.
Dat was toch een lieve man, hè?
Altijd super lief.
Super lief, hè?
Ja.
Weet je nog dat je naar het circus ging?
Ja, dat was.
Dat was leuk, hè?
Ja, schitterend. Ja.
Laura, je hebt een lieve broer en een hele lieve zus. Hoe heette die?
Mijn broer is Ravel.
Ravel, ja.
En de andere heet Sarah.
Ja. Ja.
Ja.
Ja. En wat wil je tegen de mensen zeggen op televisie?
Heel blij.
Ik zit erop. Heb het even. Heb het in namen. Heb iedereen.
Iedereen helpen.
Ja. Iedereen helpen. Nou, Laura, goed. Geweldig. Ja. Je hebt mooi gesproken, hoor. Ja. Ik was helemaal onder de indruk van je.
Ja.
Misschien kan je wel televisiepresentatrice worden.
Ja!
Dat zou leuk zijn.
Ja, dat vind ik heel graag.
Ja.
Ja.
Hey. Je eigen programma, hè?
Ja.
Hè? Van het mooie geluk, zeg maar.
Ja. Ja. Dat heb je mooi verteld.
Geheelde geluk.
Ja.
Kijk eens wat ik voor je heb. Dat is mooi. Vind je dat mooi? Pak
ja,
het eraan.
Ja, mooi.
Ja?
Heel voorzichtig.
Je bent geliefd, staat erop.
Ja.
Nou, dat ben je zeker.
Ja.
Ja. Je zal toch zo'n dochter hebben. Hè? Ja. Jongens, wij moeten naar Ome Hennie gaan kijken, want Ome Hennie komt nu op televisie.
Ja.
Dan gaan we naar kijken. Vind je dat niet leuk?
Ja. Ja.
Ga je meekijken?
Ja, okay.
Ik hoop het zo, ja.
Ja, ja. Ja, dat hoop ik ook. Even voor de kijkers, want dit boek ken je wel, hè?
Ja.
Ja. Dit is het meest succesvolle, meest gepubliceerde boek van Henri Nouwen. Gedachten bij Rembrandts terugkeer van de verloren zoon. Aanleiding van een schilderij in de Hermitage in Sint-Petersburg. Mijn lievelingsboek vertel ik altijd na de Bijbel. Ik heb het al zoveel keer gelezen en het helpt je ontzettend. Maar er is een vervolg op dat boek. Dat heet Thuiskomen. Dus van eindelijk thuiskomen. Dat is net gepubliceerd speciaal voor Hour of Power. Een prachtige gedachte van Henri. En in het volgende spotje kunt u horen hoe u dit boek in uw bezit kunt krijgen. Laurent, mag ik je ongelooflijk bedanken.
Dank voor je gastvrijheid.
Ja, je bent eenzelfde inspiratiebron als je broer Henri.
Nou, wij vonden het allebei super om hier te mogen zijn. Hè?
Wat doe je dan? Wat doe je dan?
Geweldig.
Hey, wat doe je dan?
Geweldig.
Oké. Okay.
Dankjewel, Jan.
Ja.
Thuiskomen is een nieuw boek van Henri Nouwen. Gegroeid uit nooit eerder gepubliceerde notities over zijn ontmoeting met Rembrandts beroemde schilderij De Terugkeer van de Verloren Zoon. Voor iedereen die geraakt werd door Nouwens bestseller Eindelijk Thuis is dit boek een prachtig vervolg. Het is ontroerend en inspirerend. Nouwen laat zien hoe u in contact kunt komen met de unieke en onvoorwaardelijke liefde van God. Kent u het boek Eindelijk Thuis? Heeft het u geraakt? Lees dan nu ook Thuiskomen en maak uw verzameling compleet. Bestel het boek nu via onze website www.hourofpower.nl of door te bellen naar 035 538 0588.
Grateful that I am invited by you all to be here, and I would like to very simply say that you and I are the beloved daughters and sons of God. And that's very hard to claim. Because very quickly we think that we are what we do. That we are what other people say about us. That we are what we have. But the real truth that Jesus announced us is that we are, like Jesus himself, the beloved child of God. And it's very, very important that in the midst of this world that keeps telling us, no, 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 you are what you do, you are what people say about you, you are what you have, that we listen to that voice that keeps telling us, you are my beloved. On you, my favor rests. And this morning, I would like to talk a little bit about how we can become more fully the beloved, if that's true. Jesus took bread and he blessed it. And he broke it. And he gave it. And you know, Jesus did exactly the same at the Last Supper. He took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it. And when Jesus entered the house of those two disciples in Emmaus, he took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it. And they recognized him. And that is what we continue to do through history. We take bread. We bless it. We break it. And we give it. And what I would like you to hear today is that these four words summarize the life of Jesus. Jesus is the one who is taken by God, who is blessed by God, who is broken on the cross and given to the world. And these same four words are the words that summarizes your life as the beloved, like they summarize Jesus' life as the beloved. Because your spiritual life, your life as the beloved daughters and sons of God is a life that is taken, that is blessed, that is broken and given. And I would like very much you from today on remember just these four words. If you could just go home and say, I am taken. I am blessed. I am broken. And I am given. These four words are the words I want to give you this morning so that you can claim what it means that you are the beloved son and daughter of God. Because if you can live your life as the taken, the blessed, the broken, and the given, the world will recognize Jesus in you. In the breaking of the bread, in the breaking of your life. You are taken. You know, do you believe that God has taken you? Maybe we have a little better word for that. God has chosen you. Think about that for a moment. That you are chosen by God. That means God has seen you from all eternity as precious in his eyes, as unique. There is no other. than you, that is like you. There is no other person that is exactly like you. You are unique. And you have a unique role to play in God's story. And most people don't believe that at all. Most people don't even think they are welcome in the world. But God is saying to you and to me, I've seen you from all eternity in your uniqueness. You are my chosen one. You're special in my eyes. And what I hope that you will realize is, and this is a surprise, that if you believe that you're chosen, it doesn't mean that others are not chosen. See, in our world, when they say you're chosen, you're the best in your class, too bad for the rest. If you say you're chosen for an award and the other didn't get the award. If you're chosen to be the president of a company or a class, then the others didn't make it. But in God's way, that's not at all true. In fact, if you believe that you are chosen, God gives you eyes to see the chosenness of others. You'll suddenly discover that your chosenness, your uniqueness, opens up in your heart a place where you can suddenly realize, hey brother, hey sister, you too are unique in God's eyes, and that didn't take anything away from my uniqueness. That's the great news. Very hard to claim in a world of statistics and a world in which you often think that you're just a number. But hold on to it, because it's the first sign of your belovedness. And the second is you're blessed. You know the word benediction? You know blessing, benediction? That word comes from bene, which means good things, or good, and dictions means saying things. Benediction means saying good things. You're blessed, that means God is saying good things to you. In my community, with mentally handicapped people, there was a wonderful woman called Janet. And I came to one of our homes, and I saw Janet coming up, and she says, Henry, can you give me a blessing? You know, and as a good priest, I put my hand on her and say, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. She says, Henry, it doesn't work. I said, doesn't work? Yeah, I give you a blessing. She said, doesn't work. And I was confused. I said, what do you want? She says, I want a blessing. Well, after the service, and there were a lot of people sitting on the floor, and I said, Janet wants a blessing. And she said, yes, I want a blessing. And she walked right up and put her head right against my chest, and I had this alp on, and I put it around her, and she huddled herself right in me, and I plucked up her chin a little bit, and I said, Janet, you're a beautiful woman. You're so beautiful. We love you so much. And I know you're a little low today. You need to hear it again, that you are the beloved of God and that we love you. She looked up and says, yes, Henry, that's true. As he walked back. And right after that, everybody else said, hey, I want a blessing too. And people came all up, and it was blessing people and holding them and telling how good they were. And finally, one of those big assistants, you know, Notre Dame football player who was staying with us to help out, big, strong guy, his neck going right here. And he said, what about me? I said, come up. And I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, John, God loves you. And big tears came out of his eyes. We are called to claim the blessing and to bless people wherever we go, That's our Christian call, to say good things of people. Not to give them little compliments, but to say good things about their being human, about their belovedness. But we are also broken. And I have a deep feeling that our brokenness in this world has a lot to do with relationships. Maybe you and I are not poor physically, economically, but we might be poor because there is a brokenness in our hearts. And I guess each one of you will know what that means. And what do you do with that? I want to give you two words. First of all, you have to have the courage to embrace your brokenness and not deny it. To befriend your brokenness. To say, yes, I am in pain and I'm not doing as if I'm not. I'm hurting. I'm crying out. I'm in pain. But it is my brokenness. And just as I am unique, I claim my unique pain. We have to have the courage to embrace our brokenness and to claim it as our pain. That's what Jesus means by taking up your cross. He doesn't say make a cross for anybody else. He doesn't say create a cross for yourself. He says simply embrace your cross and say it's mine. You will never be a happy, joyful person when you always deny your brokenness. Oh, it's not so bad, I will get over it. Yes, let's look at another side. No, 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 no. First of all, look it in the face and don't be afraid. And secondly, I would like to say to you, dare to put the brokenness under the blessing. Put your brokenness under the blessing that says that you're good. And many of us live it under the curse. Many of us say, well, I wasn't good anyhow, and now look what happened. I lost my friend. Look what happened. He betrayed me. Look what happened. It all proves I'm no good. But Jesus calls us to take our brokenness and put it under the blessing, under the hands who says, you are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. On you my favor rests. And when you put it under the blessing, you will be able to say one day the same words that Jesus said. Didn't you know that we have to suffer and so enter into our glory? When you put your brokenness under the blessing, then your brokenness can be a pruning, in which you are purified and made more and more golden, holy for God. That's not easy, but it's the call. And finally, you and I are given. You and I are taken, blessed, broken, to be given to the world. You're not there for yourself. I'm not there for myself. I'm there for you. You are there for me. We are there for each other. But we are there for the generations to come. Your little life does not end on the day you die. Your little life is a gift for your family, for your friends, but far beyond that for the people who you never even will see and know about. Jesus doesn't ask you to be successful, but he says, be fruitful. And how can you be fruitful without dying? If the grain doesn't die, it will not bring any fruit. And listen to Jesus. He says, it's good for you that I go. Because when I go, I will send you my spirit, my breath, my love, my intimacy. And that will lead you to the full truth, that is to the full betrothal, to the full betrothal, to the full espousal, to the full communion. And if you believe that your life is a life in which you are called to give more and more and more of yourself, not just a little bit, but all of you, that you can become food and drink for others, when you are willing to pour yourself out for others, you can trust that you will bear immense fruit far beyond your little life, your little chronology, your little clock time. And dear brothers and sisters, you know, I'm so glad that I could say that to you, because I want you to know that just as Jesus' death became fruitful for generations and generations to come, anyone who lives like Jesus did, as the beloved son or daughter of God, can be sure that his or her life will bear fruit for ages to come. That indeed all generations will call you blessed. So be sure to realize that every little bit of giving you do is already part of your becoming fruitful as the beloved. So you and my life are taken, chosen, blessed, broken, and given. And please, if you go to bed that evening, look over your day and say, where was I chosen again? Where was I blessed again? Where was I broken again? And where was I given? Because every time you recognize that, you recognize the presence of God in your heart, the presence of His Spirit in the center of your being, and you will know that you are the beloved daughter and son of God, and that you can live a free life, free to love.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. in your going out, in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
Wat een inspirerende uitzending. En ik hoop dat iedereen dat met me eens is. En wat geweldig om dominee Schuller interview met Dan Bylsma te zien. En te zien dat je door hoogtepunten en dieptepunten God kan blijven geloven. En daar had Laurent Nauwen het ook over. Net als zijn broer Henry. En Laura maakt op mij zo'n indruk. Wat een schat van een meisje. En vaak kijken wij naar de buitenkant. En wat mooi is, dat God naar je binnenkant kijkt. En dat dat voor hem veel belangrijker is dan wat we van buiten laten zien. Wie we denken te zijn en wat we denken te hebben. Dat is allemaal niet belangrijk. Een hele goede zondag toegewenst. Je bent een geliefd kind van God.